Welcome back, friends, to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I am full of joy and gratitude for you being here with us, and I'm super excited today for our guest, Nancy Benet, who is the founder and CEO of Success Your Way, and she brings with us a framework for those of you who may feel stuck currently in your business, in your path, in your way forward, or you've reached a pinnacle, but it's not fulfilling. Like you're feeling like there's a sense of something that's bigger and more for you, but just that lack of clarity. And she's bringing with us a four-step process to help you create what you want. So welcome to the show, Nancy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer and follow me on Facebook and Instagram.
Hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this, and they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word freedom to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text freedom to 55444. All right, back to the show.
Thank you, Lindsay. It's so wonderful to be here. I'm excited to talk about this topic.
Yeah, me too. I especially enjoy, like, just in our pre-chat, how you combine the essence of spirituality with the human element of strategy. Like, you're just very blended in both worlds. I think it's going to be a really profound conversation, so I'm really excited. So first, will you kick it off just a little bit? Tell us about your background and kind of how you got to doing what you do. How did you get called to do this?
That's a great question. I was trained as a CPA way back, and then I stopped working to have children and had four wonderful children and homeschooled them, but was getting a divorce and it was time to go back to work. So my husband and I had failed at five businesses and we were in deep debt, and I really did not want to do another business. So I got a job, but it was right before the recession. And that job went away, and there really were no other jobs. So I had to figure out what I was going to do. And I ran into somebody at church, and she knew somebody else there that owned a small tax prep firm, and he wanted to retire. So I went under contract with him to buy his firm. And the day after I signed a 3-year lease, he backed out and gave the firm to his daughter. Which really turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me, because I was seeing when I was in negotiations with him that there was the returns he was producing were not really correct, and I don't do that. We have to have them correct via tax law. So anyway, there I was holding a 3-year lease with no money, no job, $650,000 in debt, and four small children. So that was an
My goodness,
awakening
I just want to
moment.
take a moment and like, I feel that, you know, like just imagine being in that space. Like, you, when I love these stories when people really had a genuine struggle. I know we're going to get to the triumph, and that's really awesome. But in a moment, in this moment, it can really put into perspective our situation. You know, maybe we have a $400 bill coming up that we're like, oh, how am I going to pay this? Compared to $650,000 in debt. I mean, it just helps us put into perspective our own reality. So, oh my gosh, what an incredible story. Okay, go on. I'm sorry. It was like, oh my gosh, I just need to sit with that moment.
Is really shocking, and it's shocking for me, even though I lived through it. But you know, when you make a decision that you have to do something about your situation, and you decide that you're not going to let anything stop you, you have the power. And that's where I was. I grabbed what I could and just took control of my situation and stopped blaming my ex-husband or my mother or whoever I was blaming for where I was. And I took total responsibility for that. And I said, you know what? I've got these kids to feed and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make that work. And it was a beautiful moment. Now, mind you, it wasn't all roses afterward, but that decision is kind of the first place you have to start when you're in a bad situation. I'm going to make this work. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. And that's what I did. And bit by bit over the years, mind you, that took a long time to clean up, but I did it. And it's, you're right. There's sunshine now and it's beautiful. And so what I want to say to women is that if you're in a bad situation like that, you can overcome. You do have power, much more power than you think if you're stuck.
I would
So
even
after
go so
that,
far.
I
Oh, go ahead.
go ahead.
I was going to say, I was just thinking about what you were saying. And as I told you before we popped on here this morning, I was listening to a Myron Goldman YouTube video. And he said something really powerful. He's like, if there's three people on the fence and two decide to leave, how many are left? And the answer is they're all still there because two only decided, they didn't take the action. I think that what you're really saying is so powerful. It's like the commitment to yourself. It's that promise, it's that covenant you make that's like, I am not backing down from this. There's only one way forward, and it's through this mess, so to speak. And you made that promise to yourself, and you put your head down, and your four-step framework, it sounds like, kind of evolved through this process, which I'm really excited to hear how that all transpired. But I mean, that you're just so right. I think that power is in that commitment and that promise and that decision to follow through.
That's exactly right. And one of the steps is to take action from those decisions. And so that's what I did. I just started, you know what? I can only do so much, but today I'm going to do something. And I would do something every day. And we worked our way through it. And it was really interesting to look back on it now because I was putting my head down with, blinders on, doing the steps every day. I wasn't really looking at where I was going and or, looking back to see how far I'd come or anything like that. I just was focused on moving forward. And one day I did look up and I was like, oh my God, wow, this is amazing. So I think it's just so possible to move out of a bad situation if you take steps every single day. And that's what I did. And it wasn't all easy, but I would never go back and say that I didn't want to go through that now because what I learned from it is so beautiful. And nobody can ever take your knowledge away or your experience away. So whatever you have, you get to keep. And so even if it's a hard one and difficult to go through, I've learned through that to take every situation. And even if it seems bad, know that somewhere in there is something positive for my benefit. This happens for me, as we were saying, instead of to me, and losing the victim mentality and taking my power. Today, my kids are all grown up. They're doing very well. Two of them are business owners, two of them are real estate investors, and three of them are homeowners. So it's they all we all came out of it okay.
Yeah.
We always worry about our kids, and that's one of the biggest things for me when I was going through that is making sure they were okay, and they are.
Well, that's fantastic. And I think sometimes making that commitment in the beginning is not that hard. It's easy to make that choice when you're faced with two. I mean, you were basically boxed in. You really had only one way forward, and that was through it. You'd already tried a job, you'd already done these things. It was like, okay, what's left? Boom. I'm gonna just go head on. But how did you, I think the hard part is the day-to-day. Like, how did you keep that commitment and that promise and that faith that whatever you were doing was going to keep working every day when you were feeling the pain, when the collectors were banging on your doorstep or whatever was going on in your life in the real world, right? How did you keep your mind centered, I guess is what I'm trying to ask you.
Well, sometimes it's really good when you're boxed in a corner because you don't have an escape route. And that was it for me because the fact that I had no other place to go, I actually applied for other jobs trying to figure out what to do. One of them was with this nonprofit, and I made the shortlist, even though there were probably hundreds of applicants. I made the shortlist, and I didn't hear back from the director. And I called her and I was like, hey, I didn't hear back for the second interview. And she's like, Nancy, I called and emailed you several times, and you did not respond. I had been waiting for that phone call and that email, and I was just, wow, something there said to me, you are supposed to be doing fix-it accounting. You are not supposed to be doing this job. It was like God, the universe saved me from that by blocking the channel between the two of us.
Yes.
And so I always had to remember that and go, you know what? As long as we're open, as long as we've got money for payroll, as long as we can keep going, I'm going to keep going. And so that made it a little bit easier. And then there were a lot of other magical procurement moments, I would say. One time we needed computers and we had no money to get computers. And the ones we had were failing. And I was like, okay, what are we going to do? So we're at the scrap yard, digging through the scrap bin of hard drives, trying to find something that would work. And a few days later, one of my friends called me from Orlando and she said, Nancy, you need to come down here. There is a law office that just sold and is liquidating their office contents. I bought 15 newly refurbished computers, more than that on printers, a fax machine, a shred machine, for nothing, for nothing. It was like the universe was bringing me goodies. And that allowed us to keep going. And those things kept happening and kept happening. So I knew I was on the right track. So being backed into a corner is sometimes good because it tells you where you're supposed to be.
I've been there. I can relate. Yep. That is a pretty powerful story. What about what else I find interesting is how you didn't waste a lot of time thinking like, am I doing the right thing? You just kind of knew like, look, I had a background in accounting. This is the direction I'm going. It wasn't so much about building a purpose or a passion or all those things. You just kind of like went at it and like, this is what I know how to do. This is what I'm doing. Let's go. And at least I think that's really powerful because sometimes I think we get so caught up in the overthinking of things.
Well, I didn't really have any other choices. That was all I knew. And I didn't want to do that. I thought accounting and tax was boring and I didn't really fit as a CPA. So I didn't want to go that direction, but it's where I was sort of guided and pushed. And so when you have that, you kind of listen and go forward. Now, mind you, I had not worked in years when this happened because my kids, I've been having children and I really had not worked in a CPA firm, but like maybe 2 years, not a long time. I didn't really have a lot of experience. I knew that in the back of my head, but then I was like, well, I'll just learn. And one of the things that happened was that there were no clients to be had. We live in a small town. Everybody had their own CPA. So there were really no clients around. So what we did was start marketing to people who had federal tax liens filed in the state of Florida. And we started with our county and surrounding counties and built that. And that really worked. And we learned so much from working with the IRS every day and these clients that had problems that that's made us such better accountants. And it's made the work much more fun too. So I've learned to love what I do. We have dogs in our office. I've got a team of 11 here at Fix-It Accounting, and we just have the best time every day because I chose to create something that's beautiful and I got to do it my way. Like we wear polo shirts and jeans to work, whereas other CPAs are in a tie and a suit and buttoned up, and you can't, it's too stuffy. And so we decided to make it fun.
Yes, how fun, how cool. Okay, so this was all awesome and I love the story and I love all the little moments you share. Those are like my favorite. I always like each day with my husband and my kids, I'm like, look at the cool God thing that happened today. Like that's like the highlight of my day is to share a moment like that. So thank you for sharing those. I think this is so encouraging. Let's dig into the 4-step framework. So we kind of heard your story and a little bit of how you put it into practice, but like bring it home for us and kind of help us just walk through it.
Yep, I am very systems oriented. And so I've been able to do this magical procurement of manifesting what I want for so long. I really did not know how to articulate what that was. And so I'm pushing hard, trying to figure it out. Well, because my friends wanted to know and people were asking me how to do it. But one day when I was just on a Zoom call with 30 other people and I was working with the instructor, it was a writing instructor, and I wanted to articulate these four steps. And she just started talking to me. She's like, relax, listen. And I'm telling you, these four steps fell out of my mouth. And it was the most wonderful thing because I'd been trying for several years to figure it out. But the first one is to manage your state. So we have to be very cognizant of what we put into the world energetically. I think it's really important to make sure that we're calm, cool, and collected, and not in a frenzy or in fear or in any other negative emotion. We really have to work on figuring out how to get our state right. So that's my first goal of every morning, is to make sure I'm managing my state, and throughout the day too, because stressful things happen and I just have to go back inside and go, hey, are you okay? Can you calm down a little bit? Because it makes things go more smoothly. So that's my first step. The second step is to get really clear on what you want. And that goes back to starting the accounting firm. I said, you know what, I'm going to make this work. And it was that decision and that clarity of, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm going to make it work. As long as we can keep going one step at a time, I'm going to show up. And that's what I did. I showed up every day. It was like, I know what I want. I know what I want. I know what I want. And I stuck with that vision. And that's been for 15 years. I've stuck with that. The third step is to take baby steps towards what you want. And I think it's so powerful. We all think we need to just leap into the future, but leaping too far too fast is counterproductive because it really creates a lot of fear in you and your uncertainty and unfamiliarity. But if you're taking baby steps every day, there's not that much fear associated with it. You're just moving forward, just in bits and pieces every single day. So that's the third step. And then the fourth step, my mind went blank. The fourth step is to release what you want, because if you hold on tight to something, it tends to push it away. And you can liken that to a float in the pool. If you're lunging toward it or trying to hold on tight, it's pushing away from you. But if you wait and release and just know, it's going to come back around to you at some point. And so just release what you want and be very calm, and everything, whatever it is your heart's desire, is open to come to you in maybe ways that you never thought possible.
Yeah, and I think that last one too ties back to the first one, because when we're managing our state, if we're aware of the fact that we're trying to control something, we're being too forceful, like you're saying. I actually had that experience just this last week. I'm trying to come up with a name for a program I want to launch, and I'm like on ChatGPT and I'm thinking of all these things, and it's just like everything I came up with was a dead end. It was like it was taken, somebody else had something similar, and I was just getting so forlorn, I suppose you could say. I was just kind of like, oh my goodness, this is never going to happen. What is it going to be? And I'm like pushing chat, come up with something better, da 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 da. I let it go for the weekend because it was the weekend. I'm like, I'm not going to think about this. And then Monday, I surrendered. I'm like, all right, God, you know what? This is your program. You name it. Let me get the heck out of the way, right? And I was downstairs and I was cooking my breakfast, and I had this idea. I was like, ooh, I could think of something like a Japanese name, because Japanese words often have like an essence rather than a specific meaning. I was like, I could take like my mission and make it Japanese, and I was all excited. So I come back upstairs and I go into the chat, and guess what it was taken to? I was like, oh my gosh, everything I think is taken. So then I'm like, never mind, it's just whatever. Whenever you, I was like, just when you're ready, just make it known, right? I'm like, I'm out, I'm done. So later that day, I'm on the help desk with this software, and I'm sending them a chat, through the bot thing. And I send them the thing, like, I need help with this. And right under my name, this is crazy. I literally recorded it because I was in such awe. It said the name and then school, right? And I don't want to say it yet because I'm going to reveal it on the podcast later when I'm like ready to launch it. But I was like, oh my gosh. And it was weird because it was a hyperlink, and I have never identified anything in this way on any of my stuff. I'm like, where did this come from? It was really interesting. And I'm like, and then all of a sudden, I was like, I wonder if this URL is available. And boom, it was. I was like, my gosh. So just to your point, it's like when we're managing our state and we're aware that we're controlling it, it's so true. Like you let it go and it just keeps like I love how your steps flow. Like they just keep circling in a loop. Like it brings you, I don't know, it feels very peaceful just feeling into
Yes.
it.
That's funny. That happened to us with a Success Your Way name when we were trying to develop that, and that the exact same thing. It was like it just popped, and it was like, oh, this is it.
I love
Because
it.
we want to help people develop success their own way. It doesn't have to look like what somebody else's success might look like.
Hey, yes. I do have a question for you because you were going into vision. You said that was step number two that you, what was step number two? Remind me. I wrote vision, but that wasn't the actual step.
It's
Baby
intend what you
steps.
want. Make your intention.
Okay. And then you said something like, I just held on to the vision as you were talking about building your CPA firm. I was curious, like, how detailed did you get into your vision? Because, I've read books about like how to have craft a vision and for a corporate level as well, and like pulling your employees in and getting this whole full scale thing. And then oddly enough, like your very next step was let go of it. So I was just curious. How do you do that? Like, how do you have that? How deep do you go when it comes to the vision and the clarity and that detail? And then also to let it go. It seems a little bit almost counterproductive, although I'm sure it's not on some level.
So I don't go very deep on the detail at all.
Okay.
My vision for Fix It Accounting for the CPA firm has been a national brand, and we've been looking at it different ways. So we went from us building and opening offices to franchising, away from franchising to licensing, back to franchising again. So it's been a journey, and you never know really how it's going to work. So that's kind of where we are with that. I don't hold tight to how. The how is really none of my business. All my job as a visionary is to see the vision.
So you just see the intention of the end result and kind of like, I want to be a national
Yes.
brand. How I get there, I'm willing to just be along for the ride, but I'm not stopping till I get done with this North Star point of,
Right. And take steps. Take some steps in the right direction. You might go down the path and then the path turns a little bit to the left and then it goes back a little bit to the right. But as long as you're walking and can and open to change, open to like a different path to get to the same place, as long as you're going in the right direction, you're good.
Okay. How do you help people get that clarity of that and that vision, that bigger intention? Do you see that people struggle with that? I guess that'd be the first
They
question.
do. I think none of us really know what we want because we're so influenced by outside forces like our families and the marketing messages and what other people said you should do to be successful. And you should do this and you have to do that. We need to stop and go inward. What is right for us? What feels good for us? Where are we being led or guided? What is in our hearts? Because we know deep in there, we know we've just squashed that voice. And I think it's time to stop squashing. And there's some ways that you can learn to get in touch with who you are and what you want. I personally did not really understand who I was or what I wanted until after my divorce. And I was 45 when I got divorced. And I think that's just a travesty to not really know who I was and what I wanted until after that. And once I opened that up and started exploring, and it's definitely ebbed and flowed, but it's a beautiful thing to be able to go inward and decide who you are and what you want. And one of the ways to do that is journaling. Another way is meditation. There's lots of ways to get in touch, but we have to be quiet. And our world is not quiet at all. It's very noisy. And I think we just have to retreat a little bit. And it's hard when you've got kids and, family members and work and whatever pulling at you. But if we can find those few minutes every day to sit back and do something quiet to find out what we want.
Yeah, definitely. Very true. That's fantastic. So tell me more about your program, the Success Your Way. Is that a coaching program? Is that a membership? How do you guys serve people through that?
Right now, we are doing online classes. We have two that are out, one more coming. We do plan to launch several next year. The first one is Mastering Your Business Mindset, which I think is really important because we can go into business, but there's just so much about it that we don't know if we've been in the employee realm. So that's part of it, and really learning to find out what it is you want to do before you go do it. Because we had a client one time that they wanted to be farmers, but there was a convenience store next door. So she's like, "Should we buy that?" "No, don't do that. You will be miserable for your whole life and you will not be able to sell it. Don't do that." So these are the things that we need to explore: what we like, what we want to do, how we want to spend our time, what the rest of our lives look like. So that's that course. The second one is the nuts and bolts of business. Like, where do you start? What kind of entity do you need? How do you do your accounting? What do you need to look out for? Because in the CPA firm, I talk all day long to new business owners that, and I see the same things. And so we just really made a course out of that for new business owners. And I really love that. The third one, we're coming out with a book on January 20th called Tame Your Money Monster. And there's a course to go with it that will launch at the same time. And that's about getting your money life in order. Because again, I think there's so much problem with that. When people come into the CPA firm, we get to see everything. And so, you look at somebody on the outside and they look good and they smell good and they seem like they're doing great. But when you look inside, it's not always the same. And we're comparing ourselves to what it looks like for them on the outside. So if we can dig in and find out what motivates us from a money point of view and what our family taught us and how we handle our money and really rewire that to be more prosperous and then eventually to build wealth, we can all win.
Yes. Well, and two, I think learning good habits, being a steward of your money is important. That's a lesson that I learned later in life. I wish I made a lot of money when I was younger. Making money was not the hard part in my history, but I used to compare myself to my little sister, and it's so, isn't it fascinating? And you're a mom, you have four kids, so you totally, I know you're going to get this. I just am always so marveled by how human beings can come from the same environment, the same product of the same people, and be so vastly different. But yeah, my sister and I, she's like, she could live off of $800 a month and have savings. I was making like 8,000 a month and had nothing when I was like 22. I'm like, how is this happening? I don't know. It's true. So I love that. I think that's a powerful book. I can't, when does it come out?
January 20th.
Okay, super.
And
Well,
it's a
definitely
really
keep me
quick
in the
read.
loop.
It's a short picture book
Okay.
about a lot of it's my journey, but we have a character, and it's about her journey, and it's just really profound how you can change so drastically in how you perceive and handle your money.
Do me a favor, when it comes out, please email me.
I will.
Yeah, please do. I'd love to share it. I'd love to read it and then share about it here on the show too.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, so how can people connect with you? What's the best place for them to go?
Through Success Your Way, we have a website, successyourway.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Like and follow us, and we're really coming out with a lot of nice videos and a lot of good content. And we'd love for you to join our tribe because we are going to build a tribe, a group of women that can help each other. Because I think we're so alone as entrepreneurs at first. And everybody around us maybe has a job and they're all talking, "Well, why are you doing that? Oh, don't, you're gonna hurt yourself. They're worried about you." So if you can find another tribe of people that are doing it, I think it's really powerful.
Oh, yes, so true. Nancy, this has been just such a powerful conversation, as I knew it would be. So I'm super grateful again for you being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Lindsay. What a great experience.